Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, I'm John Ramos. We want to welcome our VFN TV and audience all around the world. And of course, all of those that are listening to us on the radio, welcome to VFN TV. My goodness. Here in the studio to encourage you is Pat Hamilton, the producer.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day. My goodness. He is faithful to bring the good day for us, and I like when you do that.
I tried to change it up, you know, just give you the good hello, hi, how
no,
are you?
The
I
good,
got shot
just
down.
Just didn't fit, man.
It didn't fit. That's characteristically you. We like that.
I'm trying to make sure you're paying attention.
Yeah, listen, we enjoy having you on the program. We love to hear the good day.
I will tell you, I'm thankful to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Great. Well, we have an exciting program for you. Don't forget that we're two programs back to back. Of course, you can catch us on VFNTV.com, and you can find so much more podcasts, apps for all sorts of platforms, you name it, and as well as The Torch, where you have so many different ways to go more and explore more with some of the things that we're discussing. The Torch is over 3,000 highlights, and you will find everything you can imagine on there. And, of course, we encourage you to share with a friend. Of course, we have Facebook. Like us and follow us. And don't forget that you can always share and be a part. And we love hearing from you. It's very encouraging when we do. We have an exciting program for you. We're going to continue a conversation that we've been having on the Welsh Revival and how God used Evan Roberts in a powerful way. We're going to talk about how to be a keeper and a guardian of the flame that God has in your life, and how by doing that, Pat, you are actually keeping a religious spirit at bay. But it's amazing that when the flame goes out and you continue to do quote-unquote religious works, it just becomes just religion. You got to be a keeper and a guardian of the flame, which is the intimacy of God. So you got to guard it, right? And then we're going to talk about there is a season. Everything has a season, and Steve's going to be sharing with us about that. But we're going to jump right back into it. I mean, we've just been talking about the Welsh Revival and how God used Evan Roberts in such a powerful and amazing way. This revival took place in 1904, and it was going on during the same time of the Azusa Street Revival in the United States and in California. And those leaders communicated back and forth with each other through mail, and they sent letters to each other, and they were greatly encouraged. That folks that visited the Azusa Street Revival would travel across the globe to visit the Welsh Revival, and those folks, vice versa, would crisscross. Wow. And they would both their works benefited from each other. We're sharing about a book that I was led to read, and Rick Joyner wrote the book. The book's entitled "A World on Fire: Lessons That We Can Learn." Let me get the right title here for you. "World on Fire, The Welsh Revival and Its Lessons for Our Time." And if you ever read any of Rick's books, you understand that he is an excellent author. Right? I
think
he's quite the writer.
And he has a way with words and a way of just capturing what God is doing through him. And I enjoyed reading it. I'm not all the way through, but some of the things that I have read and learned, we're going to be sharing today. We're going to talk about it because we're believing for a third great move, you know, third great awakening, a move of God. And my goodness, you need to believe for a move of God in your own life every day.
Amen.
Let the outpouring begin in you. You have a fresh fire in your life, a fresh flame. And, you know, I don't like that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." You ever heard that song, "This Little Light of Mine"? Yeah. I don't like that song. I don't have a little light. I like to say "this roaring light of mine," you know. We need to have a roaring light, not a little light. We need to have a roaring light for God, and we want it to shine and allow the Holy Spirit to fan into flame, you know, what's happening in your life.
Amen.
But so many things happened during this revival. Evan Roberts is 26 years old. He was a young man. He wasn't an educated man. He worked as a coal miner. His father had hurt himself, and so at a young age, Evan Roberts had to go to the coal mines in Wales and began to work. But he had a desire to preach the gospel, and like Rick says, many other people did, and they were working in the coal mines, but many people weren't able to pursue their dream. They were limited. They were held back by whatever reason, but nothing held Evan Roberts back. He just believed God and said, I got to do this thing. I got to do this thing. And he did it. And one of the things that you know, you get to wonder, why would maybe God entrust such a powerful move of God to a young man? He was only 26 years old. You know, that's a great responsibility. And I thought I knew some things about Evan Roberts and the Welsh Revival, but upon reading this book, I'm realizing that I'm finding out so much more. Mm-hmm. But one of the great characteristics about Evan Roberts and his life as an evangelist was that he did not want to get any attention whatsoever drawn to him. He would not publicize whether he was going to an event. He would not want to get any people roused up looking at him. He would did not want to be photographed, except he only allowed family to take pictures of him. He did not want the meetings to be written about. He didn't even send a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And so God saw fit to make sure that the newspapers of the world wrote all about it. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want to bring any attention to himself. He wanted to honor the Holy Spirit. And Rick writes that Evan Roberts wasn't known as the greatest preacher. He didn't bring any kind of new doctrine into the revival, but what he was known for is for his submission to the Holy Spirit and yielding mm-hmm. to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And he wouldn't speak unless the Holy Spirit told him to speak. He would say only what the Holy Spirit told him to say. And he would sit with the crowd for hours and just wait. And many preachers wow. would come from all over the world. G. Campbell Morgan, William Booth from the Salvation Army founders, great orators, great preachers, and they too found out. Many of them didn't. If they prayed some, and maybe a few of them said a few words, but nobody really came there to preach. They just came to experience what God Himself was doing. And some characteristics that we talked about was that in the 1900s, you know, in the early 90s, Rick writes that the young people. It was a movement to get young people to get involved in the work of God and to give them a vision how children could be used at a young age, and they didn't have to wait to get older to be used by God, because as you said earlier, Steve, you know,
yeah.
there's no baby Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, and so parents in the 1990s were teaching their children how to be used, but he said it wasn't the case in the Welsh Revival. During
it was
Welsh,
the children.
It was the children.
Yeah.
It was the children teaching the parents. And so, and equipping the parent, 16-year-old children were used. His sister, Mary, Evan Roberts' sister, she was used at a powerful way in this revival. She was only 16. There was a group called the Singing Sisters, and they themselves were between the ages of 18 and 22, and they went all over the Wales singing and ministering and testifying about the Lord. Hmm. And it was wonderful. But another characteristics of this move of God was prayer. The Welsh Revival was known for people of prayer and a deep intercession. And Rick writes that it was praying that rent the heavens, praying that received direct answers there and then. And he says the spirit of intercession was so mightily poured out that the whole congregation could take part simultaneously for hours. Strangers were startled to hear the young and unlettered pray with such unction and intelligence, as they were swept up to the throne of grace by the Spirit of God. Worship and adoration was abounded, and praise began to mingle with petitions. And what they found out as answered prayer was demonstrated before their very eyes, often unsaved loved ones were the focus of their intercession and prayer, and then they would be, you know, compelled to pray and pray for them. In the same meeting, unsaved people that they were praying for would come and get saved. Or the next day they'd come and get saved. And this encouraged them more to continue to pray. Mm-hmm. And it was really amazing. And so their faith was stirred. They would pray for specific friends and family members. And again, those folks would come in and you know, get saved or receive a healing. Mm-hmm. And these prayer meetings that had been drudgery, Rick writes, before, they became the main attraction. So you know you're in the move of God when prayer becomes the main attraction. Mm-hmm. And even for entire cities, they said meetings swelled until overflowing, and meetings that were expected to be regular services quickly became prayer meetings. and everyone began to pray. They said spontaneous prayer meetings would occur at work, at the coal mines. They would happen at the shops. They would happen in the streets. Mm-hmm. I mean, anywhere. They would go walking in the neighborhoods and pray. March in the neighborhoods, they said, and pray over entire neighborhoods and communities all hours of the night.
Yeah.
All hours of the night. And so I said, my goodness, this was a move that just so just powerfully impacted them and brought radical transformation. Rick continues to say that the main focus of their prayer in this revival was always for the lost. He says there can be no revival without soul winning, and in saving lost souls, a Welsh revival must be considered as one of the most intense and effective revivals of all time. He says that this revival was not a program for using a few preachers or campaigns to get church members testifying to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. No classes were given on how to reach the lost. It just seemed like every Christian in Wales erupted simultaneously with a burning agony for the lost. And the joy of salvation simply could not be contained by the believers as every coal mine. I mean, they just couldn't be contained.
That just sounds like just a powerful wave of God that just comes upon a whole people, a whole city, a whole nation.
Is that amazing?
That's just what we've been praying for.
Exactly.
And it's just like, it really just stirs my encouragement, because it's just like we hear so much about what God has done, and it's just like, God's going to pour it out again.
Yeah.
And I think about just hearing about how the Holy Spirit touched the children. And I think about all that God is doing, even amongst us, hearing the children, that they are just willingly and just openly just declaring God's word, interceding, praying, being bold. And it's just like, if you're a parent and you've got a child that's hungry for God and you know the Lord, it's just like pour into them and watch what God does. Because it's like, I love that statement. It's just like, there is no baby Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that Jesus sent, he said, is going to cover all men.
All flesh.
He's going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and his glory is going to cover the earth. And it's just like, do it again, God.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Yeah, that's so powerful when speaking about children, because oftentimes, you know, parents would wait. You know, I was a youth pastor one time and worked with young people, and it appeared that when the young person was entering adolescence or, you know, teenage years, and then it's like, oh, let's get them involved in the youth, or let's get them involved in God. And it's like, hey, you know, maybe that's a little, you know, what we should have started early on. Mm-hmm. And we want to encourage you to fan the flame of your children's spiritual life. So much is made today in America about education, and there's all sorts of tools and training and tips and things that get children, you know, learning at an early age and reading. Mm. Equip them to read the Bible. Equip them to abide. And that's why we encourage young people, children, to abide with Jesus, to read what they can, what on their level, what they can understand, and to journal according to how they can journal, whether that's drawing a picture, using a crayon, whatever works, but write down what God is saying. It reminds me, I was talking to Jamie just the other day, and shout out to Jamie in Texas, but I saw him on the Gulf Coast. And Jamie, and I said, Jamie, what's the Lord telling you? And Jamie's 8 years old. And he says, well, I wish I recorded it, because the way only Jamie could say it. He says, well, I've been reading Ruth. And he says, he's 8 years old. He says, yeah. Says, my God would be their God. They're my people. You know, he's paraphrasing for me. And he says, I will only worship God. I will only worship God. And I'm like, he's 8 years old.
Wow.
And when you can ask an 8 year old, what is God saying? He didn't tell me what he heard, he's told me right out of the book of Ruth. That's what we want to see happen with children everywhere. We want them reading the word of God. We want them to be stirred up in their faith. And we believe, just like Jesus said, that they can do great exploits because they know their God. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFN TV and the daily video program, and so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it with over 3,000, Pat, 3,000 highlights that are available for you. So that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures, we have videos, we have graphs sometimes, and just allows you to take more time to really go deeper because we only have a limited amount of time on air, but the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN Torch where you can look up prophecy, all the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have words, wisdom moments. We have original intent, and we have a new one that I'm very excited about, Third Great Awakening. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light. We're here to have a conversation and with hopes and prayers and belief that a third great awakening is going to touch our nation and the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds and actions that are turned away from God, hearts are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. Mm. So thank you for being a part of this conversation and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always, because he, my goodness, he is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey him. We call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God. And survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity and our response. We need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better, and we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're just talking about the Welsh revival. And how the passion was about so many things, prayer, God, children being used, and they had the main focus of their prayer was souls, soul winning, people coming to Jesus. Listen, that's what we want to do. We want people to come to Jesus. We want them to be saved. There is no other hope outside of Jesus. There is nothing that could be better than someone knowing God. That is the work of the church. That is our ministry, is to make him known and for people to know him and to grow in fellowship with him. But it's all about Jesus. That's it. It's all about him. And they say that you know, everyone there was just so filled with God that it was everyone else that was testifying about Jesus. They were going everywhere winning souls. And it wasn't about, you know, a course about how to teach people. They just told about their own personal relationship. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, so many people say, well, how do you evangelize? It's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
You just tell somebody else what Jesus has done in your own life.
Yeah.
And how Jesus has rescued you. And the first thing is to find out, what's your testimony?
Well, it makes me think about what God did at Asbury College. And a revival just simply broke out because there was one student, and they had been praying on that campus for a very extended period of time. But how it started was one person shared their testimony and how they repented for their sins, and there was just freedom. And then God just began to move, and what that story was shared impacted someone else, and they came up and was just like, you know, this is what I've done. I just want to repent, and I just forgive, and forgive me, and I just ask this of the Lord, and God just began to move on people, and move on people, and move on people, and it went on for hours, and it was just testimony after testimony after testimony,
yeah.
And it's just what God would do when we just begin to just share what God has done in our lives.
Yeah, powerful, 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 and that's what it all happens. Mm. It says even, Rick continues to write that even more than the preaching, it was the witness of the common believer which led multiplied thousands to saving faith in Jesus. You see, it's the fivefold ministry. It's the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teacher, the apostle that equips the church to do the works of service.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ephesians tells us. So it's not the evangelist doing it all. It's the evangelist that equips the church through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to go and be loosed, go into your cities, into your neighborhoods, into your workplaces, into your community, you know, projects, and share the gospel with everybody.
Amen.
And share the good news, because it's not good news, it's great news. So they say there was no set pattern or strategy for witnessing. No pattern. It was simply born out of an overflowing joy and faith that could not be contained for those who know the Savior.
Mm.
So when you know God, you've been touched by Him, you just can't help just to tell everybody, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And we want to encourage you to do that more and more. They say the presence of the Lord was so powerful during the Wells revival. The people there said the people at Wells, they would lose sleep because they were afraid that if they left the services, they would miss something wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they would stay there. Many times the meetings carried on until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and did not end until the people, sometimes including the entire population of a city or town, had marched through the streets singing and praising the Lamb of God. That's how it would end. And that's, to me, reminiscent of what occurred during the Brownsville revival in the early days. I mean, I can remember 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, people leaving the Brownsville revival, leaving the revival and then getting ready to go to work, going home to shower and getting up and getting ready to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the supernatural grace that people had during that time. I mean, who can stay up to 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock outside your house every single night and then get up the next morning and go to work refreshed and ready to go? And there's something about the presence of God that's just so refreshing, the anointing of God that just gives you supernatural energy. It's life. You're breathing in the air of heaven.
Amen.
When you're in His presence. And it's amazing how that affects your physical body. But they didn't want to miss it.
Right.
They didn't want to miss one thing.
If you think about that, they were spending time with the one who's the author of life.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And it just like what you're saying, it's just like, many testimonies came out of the Brownsville revival that said some of the most powerful, when the Holy Spirit would come on most powerful, was during those 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, because those people that were just continuing to push in and intercede and just go into God and press into God. It was just like that would just move God so much that He would wait and they would still push. And it was just like that.
That awesome.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that Rick writes is says they knew how to carry the ark. And, you know, in the Old Testament, the Ark, you know, the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence in Israel. And when the Ark was treated holy and it was carried before them in battle, they had great and miraculous victories were won. And Rick continues to say that when the Ark was not treated as holy, but was used as a good luck charm, they lost the Ark and the battle, and it was captured by their enemies. And he continues to say, and I thought this was really interesting, one of the greatest reasons why the Welsh revival burned so brightly for so long was that the leaders knew how to carry the ark of God's presence. They knew how to remain open, submitted to the Lord's leading, and understood how not to offend the Spirit. And those who were used so mightily in this revival were loath to say anything that might draw attention to them and away from their Savior. And the Psalms 25:14 states that the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. And they wanted to be close enough to him to know his deepest secrets, so they learned to respect him properly. Combined with the great love for the Lord, they had a profound and holy fear of offending him, and they loved the ark of his presence and could not be content without having the Lord's presence there. Mm. And, you know, they knew how to treat something that was valuable. And that reminds me of so many times, you know, being an usher at the Brownsville Revival and being there during that period of time, at just how the leadership, Brother Kilpatrick and Steve Hill, were so aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and not to offend the Holy Spirit. And they didn't draw any attention to themselves. They didn't, you know, promote the revival. There were many times they were asked to do certain things, and it's all about God. It was all about nobody was being lifted up. And I believe it's one of the reasons why the Brownsville Revival continued to go on so long. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's reported that it was the longest revival in the United States. Mm-hmm. And it affected millions of people, millions. Uh-huh. And it was just absolutely possible. You can't do that in the flesh. You can't do that. It has
not
to
for
be
long, that's for sure.
It would just burn out. Uh-huh. It has to be a work of the Spirit and an honoring of the Spirit's presence. You just can't say, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. No, it's yeah. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And what do you want to do? What do you want to say to your people? What do you want to do in the midst? And it takes a person that's sensitive to the Holy Spirit, a person that fears the Lord and has extreme respect and honor for him.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think, too, it's just like what God did in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And it's just like when they were gathered, it was birthed out of prayer. Mm-hmm. They came together, and it's just like what was powerful, just like we were saying, it's just like those entire cities were affected. And it's just like that's exactly what God did, is because they were gathered together in prayer, what we now know as Pentecost. God moved so powerfully that the whole city of Jerusalem responded to their prayer meeting. And it's just like when we return to that emphasis and priority of going after God and praying, watch what God does as he affects entire cities for his glory. And it's just like that just so increases my hunger.
Wow. It's so powerful, you know, because we look back at what God has done in the past, and we have great expectation for what he is going to do here in our future. And we're going to continue to talk about the testimony, how all this got started, how the spark of revival was lit in the Welsh Revival, and how prayer and how 4 points that Evan Roberts was given by the Lord about necessary things that have to happen for that move of God in the Welsh Revival. We can learn from it more when we come back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
In a time of great peril, the light of liberty grows dim with every passing day. Listener, your nation needs you this summer in Washington, D.C. My name is Rodney Howard Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America, to be held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. You, your church, your youth group, we're calling all the believers to come and be a part to help take JC to D.C. Your nation is counting on you. July the 1st through the 19th will be nightly meetings held at the DAR at 7 p.m. and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Admission, of course, is free. Come and celebrate America's heritage, her 238th birthday, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, who acknowledged firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. If not now, when? If not you, who? Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. That is CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody. There's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about these, like, these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. They and so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're continuing our conversation on a book written by Rick Joyner, The World on Fire, regarding the Welsh Revival and its lessons for today. And we've been enjoying just having this conversation and looking back at what occurred back in 1904 during this Welsh Revival and some things that occurred during the Browns Revival on the Gulf Coast, as well as we see some similarities and some things that were happened during, you know, kind of the same there. But we're just kind of gleaning a little bit from this book. We're probably not going to get to all of it, but we are going to continue to share in other conversations and segments. So stay tuned about all the different things that we can learn. But one of the things that we find out, you know, about the Welsh Revival is that God had been moving on a group of men, and they were, you know, stirring up in prayer. God was moving upon their life. They were going to different places and having these kind of conferences and just, you know, all the kindling was kind of put together. But he talks about how one testimony basically lit the fire. One testimony lit the fire, and Pastor Jenkins gets a group of young people up to kind of testify, and several tried to speak on other subjects, but the pastor just stopped them. Stop. And at last, a young girl named Maury Evans, who had been gloriously converted just a few days before, stood up and with a trembling voice said, "I love Jesus Christ with all my heart."
Mm-hmm.
With these simple words, the sparks that God had planted in so many hearts burst into flame, and the great Welsh Revival began.
Wow.
And oftentimes we think that it's some great oration or some great revelation. It's like, you know, hey, it's about the Spirit of God on somebody. It's about the anointing of God. It's about what God's doing in the heart of the person. And our best words, our best messages, our best plans fail. They're nothing compared to what the Spirit of God wants to do. It's all about him. It's all about what God's doing in the heart of someone's life.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's nothing more beautiful than people that are hungry for God. And God definitely responds to hunger. And it's just, I love that, that childlike faith of just, I just love Jesus.
Isn't that awesome?
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. You know, one of the things that's referred to as the revelation was Evan Roberts, you know, wind up going to a school for a little while to get some education. It was a seminary. And one day before school in the spring of 1904, Rick writes that haven't found himself kind of in a Mount of Transfiguration experience, if you will. And he said the Lord revealed himself in such an amazing and overwhelming manner that Evan was filled with divine awe. And Evan says, it's coming. It is coming. The power of the Holy Ghost. I receive it. I receive it. The power of the Holy Ghost. And when Seth Joshua used the words, bend us, O Lord, Evan entered in such a travail that he heard nothing more. They were in a prayer meeting. And he later testified that the Spirit of God whispered to him, this is what you need. So Seth Joshua saying, bend us, O Lord, bend us, O Lord, in this prayer meeting. And then God tells Evan Roberts, this is what you need. And so Evan Roberts says, bend me, O Lord, wow. Bend me. But the fire did not fall at 9 o'clock meeting. So the spirit of intercession kept, you know, they kept praying. And Evan was bursting to pray. And the Spirit of God told him to do so publicly. So he's praying privately, Gus. So you didn't do this publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So with tears streaming down his face, Evan just began to cry, bend me, bend me, bend me. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him with such a mighty baptism that filled Evan with Calvary's love and a love for Calvary, that night the message of the cross was branded upon Evan's heart, and there would be no other theme for the great revival that he was soon to lead. Mm-hmm. And from that night on, Evan Roberts could focus on one thought: the salvation of souls. I mean, it's about having an encounter with God. It's about meeting God and having an encounter that transforms your life. It really just rattles you and shakes you to the core. So during a series of time, you know, Evan Roberts is kind of like, you know, leading up to this Welsh, you know, revival. He's in a midnight prayer. This is something that he prayed all the time. He was always involved in prayer. And we always encourage a lifestyle in prayer. I mean, we have a prayer and fasting community. We've been graced by God for 5 years to pray on Mondays, 24 hours, and not all 24 hours, but we take different watches, you know, and we pray. And it's beautiful to see all the prayers that have been prayed and what God is doing. It's a culture. It's a lifestyle. It's an everyday. It's not a crisis prayer that we talked about this in a previous segment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lifestyle of prayer. It's a lifestyle of communing and talking with God.
Mm-hmm.
To God about God and to God about others, and praying according to His will, His plan, His heart. You know, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. And, you know, we don't need good ideas. We need God ideas. We don't need the plans of men, but we need the plans of God. You know, God wants to do something. He's just looking for someone to stand in the gap and someone who's going to seek His heart. That's what intercession is. Intercession is praying. God burdens you with what is on His heart, and it fills your heart, and then you release it on the earth. You speak it out on the earth back up to God, and it's a perpetual circle that starts in the heart of God, goes down into your heart, and back up to God. And that's what prayer and intercession and partnering is with God. So they're in this midnight prayer. And Evan's roommate, Sidney Evans, who was used during this time of the revival, came into the room to find Evan's face shining with a holy light. And astonished, he asked, what happened? And Evan replied, I had seen in a vision the whole of Wales being lifted up to heaven. And so he prophesied, we're going to see the mightiest revival that Wales has ever known. And the Holy Spirit is coming just now. We must get ready. We must have a little band and go all over the country preaching. And suddenly he stopped, and with piercing eyes he cried, do you believe that God can give us 100,000 souls now?
Wow.
Just stopped and asked him that.
Mm-hmm.
And so God tells him, go to these people. He goes to talk to, you know, the pastor at the time, with, you know, the school, says, hey, this is what God's laying on my heart. And then the person who's in charge there says, listen, I've never known of the enemy to give anyone that kind of the devil to give anybody that kind of call or something. He says, that's God. He needs it. If God's telling you to do something, you better obey God.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back and he goes to you know, back to his area where he was from, and he wants to speak to the young people. He wants to talk to them about God and about this revival that's coming. And so he goes, you know, to the church, and the pastor's like, "Oh, that's nice, you know, that's great." And he says, "Well, after," tells the congregation, "after tonight's service, Evan wants to share something with the young people. So if you want to stick around," you know, like 16 people show up. Mm. 16 people are there. And it may have looked discouraging at the time. But finally, this is what Rick writes. He says, this was how the most important meeting in the history of Wales began. A cold spirit and unbelief were so thick that it seemed to hang in the air.
Wow.
The results were so disappointing that Evan could not help but be tempted to think that his vision were some strange, you know, thing that he saw. Mm-hmm. It was a test much like that of the children of Israel endured after leaving Egypt. They were promised of a land flowing with milk and honey, and the first place that they were taken to, they didn't even have water. He says, when they finally came to a well, the water was bitter.
Right.
And would the young preacher believe in the visions or the voices that were now telling him that he had been duped by delusions of grandeur? It is at this point that many stray from the course that leads to the fulfillment of the calling of their calling. And he says, no, he determined that he would rather be the greatest fool in Wales and miss the possible opportunity to see revival in Wales. Mm. And Evan chose to stand by the vision just as he prophesied. So he stood there. He stood with what God told him, and he didn't submit God's plans to men. Mm. He said, this is what God said. Mm. And if people don't believe your message, you just, you know, don't change your message. Yeah. You just change your audience.
Move on.
You That's just change your audience. And Evan chose to stand with what God shared with him and what God said to him. And as a result, within 2 weeks, this city, and I can't pronounce it, but it's Lougher. This city was changed, and the first 100,000 young people began streaming to the Lord within two weeks. We're talking about the Welsh revival. We're talking about the power of God. We're talking about all the different things that have been happening. And one of the things is, as we're coming to the end of just talking about this move of God for now, Reverend Roberts was given basically four tenets, and they later became known as the 4 points of the move of God, but they were what he believed that God gave to him, that they were the 4 conditions that he believed were required for revival to come. And so he shared this one night, and the first one is that all sin must be confessed to God and be repented of. All sin must be confessed to God and be repented of, and the church has to be cleansed. The Lord's bride would be without spot, so that there would be no room for compromise with sin. And if there's anything in our lives about that which would even doubt whether, you know, get it out of your life. The second tenet, the second point that Evan Roberts was given was there must be no cloud between the believer and God. No cloud. And so he said, have you forgiven everybody? If you don't expect forgiveness for your own sins. The scripture is clear. We cannot be forgiven until we have forgiven. And unforgiveness separates us from God. So that's the second point. The first one is, you know, all sin must be confessed to God and repented of. The second one was there must be no cloud between the believer and God. So don't let, you know, unforgiveness, you know, rest mm-hmm. in your heart. The third point is we must obey the Holy Spirit and do what the Spirit prompts you to do. We must obey the Holy Spirit. And he says, prompt, implicit, unquestioning obedience to the Spirit is required if we're going to be used by him. Mm. Prompt, implicit, unquestioning obedience to the Spirit is required if we're going to be used by him. And the fourth one is that there must be a public confession of Christ as Savior. This is not a one-time incident after our salvation experience or baptism, But for the Christian, it is a way of life. It is a way of life. And so it's not just, hey, you know, I lifted my finger one time in a service, but it is a lifestyle. Mm. I'm publicly coming out. I'm being baptized. Yeah. I'm walking for Jesus. And these are the 4 points that he felt that God gave him that were essential. These are essential conditions before revival could come. And so we're just enjoying that, just going back and uncovering and looking at some of the things that happened during this awesome move of God that just has been used so powerfully. We want to recommend the book. It's, again, A World on Fire, Things That We Can Learn from the Welsh Revival, and it's written by Rick Joyner. But listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for a powerful move of God.
Amen.
And we just seen how God has poured out his spirit in Wales. And we can say, God, would you do it again?
Do it again, God.
Would you do it again?
Amen.
We want to honor the Holy Spirit. We want to say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And we want to see souls come into the kingdom. And we want to see Jesus' name famous. Because it's not about the sake of, it's not about the revival. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's about his kingdom advancing, and it's about heaven full and hell empty.
Amen.
We'll be more back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And the bookmark. And
I was like,
right, John Ramos.
Hello.
What's going on? You used to be so talkative when you were younger.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know that
in my old age, I just,
this guy used to keep me up till what? How early in the morning?
Oh, come on.
All night long.
All night long.
Oh, man. Come on. He loved it.
Insatiable.
He loved it. He wanted to talk.
No, I loved you, obviously. I didn't love that. Because I'm like, my goodness. It was like, I'm so talkative. So talkative, you know what I'm saying?
It happens in your old age, man. You just, you know, hey, just.
That's when you're younger.
I know, but he says I'm not talkative now. I'm just, you know.
You're on the radio.
Hey.
Oh, we're having fun at VFN TV and Daily Radio Program.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Steve. I was doing a little air guitar there on the break, and Steve, you weren't feeling that, bro? You weren't? He wasn't feeling that. Listen, I love our transition music. I'll give the producer some props here.
It is okay to air guitar. You got to make sure you're on key, though.
Well, hey, I got the rhythm.
That's the concern.
Hey. I would say something about jokes, but I'm not going to say that right now. Okay. Hey, we just got back from talking about the Welsh revival and just all the just amazing God things that happened during that time and things that we can glean and learn. But if you missed any of our programs, be sure to go to VFNTV.com and make sure you catch up and see what you can find them on the torch. And, of course, we have video for you as well. But I know, Steve, you wanted to talk to us, Lord, in your abiding time about this. Seasons don't last forever, right?
Amen. Yeah. I really just began to think about the fact of just we have people in our lives. You know, you can look back, and I think about everything just lasts for a season. You can remember those people that you meet somebody, and however long it is, you have some people that come in your life quickly, and they leave. But then there's others that stay a while. And sometimes, like, you think about, you know, can any of you guys recall, like, you know, that very strong, you know, that good relationship where the goodbye outweighed the reunion? Of course not. It's like, you obviously, like, when you come back together, it's just like it's that much more of a celebration that you get to see one another. And there's not a welcome back without there first being a goodbye. And so often it's just like we don't think about the welcome back when we're encountering the goodbye, because that's all we see. And we see that goodbye, we see that separation, but we forget the fact that, okay, well, maybe there's going to be a reunion.
You're talking about relationships when we leave each other.
Correct. And the people that come into our lives, and it's just like we can get focused on the things that happen in that one moment, but we forget the fact, okay, there's things to come, you know? And when I look at how Jesus responded with his disciples, he introduced himself to them. He says, you know, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He walked with them. But there was that day, you know, Acts 17 talks about the fact that there's seasons, the specific times that God has placed for our lives. And I think about that day when Jesus, you know, broke the news like, hey, you know, I'm only going to be here for a certain amount of time. I'm going to go. And he talks about it in John 16. He says, but now I'm going to him who sent me. And he says, none of you guys are asking me, you know, where are you going? But he says, rather, you're filled with grief. Because disciples got focused on that one truth, the fact that, wait, you're leaving? You mean you're not staying with us, like, forever? And it was like, that was that truth that Jesus shared. He says, but very truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. And that's the thing that so many times it got me to realize that God can be trying to make something known to us, and we can get focused on what's happening in the now and forget that we might be losing something. But you know what? God might have something that's even better. Mm-hmm. God might have something that's more for us. And the disciples didn't know that Jesus was about to be crucified, but where he was going, it made it all worthwhile. And I think about that, and I've talked before on previous segments, was that 3 days when Jesus had gotten crucified, I can't imagine what Peter was going through, because Peter had denied Jesus, right? And Peter was just like, all right, I'm going to go fishing. Because it's like there was a goodbye that had happened. There was no closure. And it's just like at that moment, it's just like, you know, what's going to happen? But then there was a moment, there was a reunion that came back. And Jesus is sitting on the side of the shore, and Peter's trying to fish. And he tells him, you know, throw your net over on the side. But there was that moment when Peter recognizes who he is. And he talks about the fact that he says, you know, it's the Lord. And as soon as he recognized him, he wrapped his clothes around him, and then he jumped into the water. He didn't like row a boat. He jumped into the water and swam to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's like at that moment of that celebration of remembering that Jesus came back, He forgot about all the things that he was going through. He forgot about the weekend. He forgot about the crucifixion. He forgot about him denying him. But there was a reunion there. And it was just like the seasons, the changings, the ups and the downs. And it's just like we don't get focused on just the downs in those hardship moments.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is like, Jesus has always got something more. Jesus is always like, I've got something else for you. Did you think about this? Or I want to show you something. And I've always been encouraged. I think about in John 14, Jesus so pointedly addresses this. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, my Father's house has many rooms. And if that were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be where I am also. And it's so often, it's just like we can be doing the things, we can be fishing, we can be where we are and forget the fact that Jesus is coming back. Mm. We can forget the fact that there's a reunion to be had. Mm. We can forget the fact that there's a season, that where we are right now is just for a certain time. That's not it. It's not the finality of things. That there's a coming together. And it's just where I see in my day-to-day routine, you know, a lot of people can recall, if you've ever been to an airport, you've got the departures and you've got the arrivals. And the amazing thing is, though, it's just like just in a few certain steps in one direction, it's a very, you know, sad experience over and over and over.
People leaving.
Because it's people leaving. It's the hugs. It's you know, the long talks in the car. But it's just like you walk a couple steps the other direction, depending on how big the airport is, and you have the arrivals. And there's the running hugs. There's the shouts. There's the signs. There's the pictures. And it's just like there's that rejoicing celebration. And it so got me to thinking about the fact that Jesus says, yes, I am coming soon. And I'm telling you, he's coming back. And it's getting focused on the fact that this is just for a season, but being faithful in that season, in this life now, so that we can have that forever time with him for all of eternity.
That's so powerful, because we are going to see him again. If you've made him your Lord and Savior, you will see him again.
Amen.
And just to behold him, I think about that song. I can only imagine, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to get on our knees. Yeah. We're going to jump. We're going to fall out. What are we going to do? Who knows? But I know this, that if you see him when he comes back, it's going to be the greatest day of your life, and you can experience it. All you need to do is receive Jesus into your life. If you're away from the Lord and you want to be a part of that glorious celebration, then welcome into your life.
Amen.
Say, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want him to be my Lord, my Savior, and my very best friend, because I want to be there when he comes back, and I want to go with him, and I want to be a part of this celebration.
Yes.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.